Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show, back after the Christmas weekend. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. All sorts of pre-owned inventory. And an excellent service department and sales staff. Great on those inspections. Big projects, small fixings, they got it for you. That's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. And every Monday show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Or go check them out online at purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business. All things, maybe you picked up a new boat for Christmas. Maybe you picked up a new RV for Christmas from a nice family member or friend. You can get that insured as well with our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. And there he is. Yep. Happy holidays to you, sir. How was your Christmas?
It's great. How was yours?
Little bit sick, so it was a little bit different, but we made it work, and we had a good day.
Good.
We have a little illness going around the house at the wrong time, but we made it work.
There you go.
And Santa still came and still had a good day.
That's good. Very good. All right. So let's get to a couple of items here. One of which I think is it was announced today, Jaquan Brisker skipping the Outback Bowl. Oh my God, really? I'm shocked. Maybe you are, but I'm not. I mean, these will come out day by day this week as to who's doing what. You know, Joey Porter Jr. announced. You know, what he's doing. I think everyone knows that, you know, Rasheed Walker's on crutches. Once again, there's a segment out there that makes assumptions, and what it's like sitting in my spot where I hear people make assumptions and I just like roll my eyes and like, really? Okay, don't talk about stuff you don't know anything about. But that doesn't prevent people. It's all right. All right. Very interesting statements made by, first of all, is the head of the bowl committee. And I thought it was very interesting, about the cancellation of some of these bowl games. And also, the primary one was by the head of medical oversight in the NFL. Did you see this one?
This I didn't see. I'm curious.
Oh, we'll be able to connect a lot of dots with this.
Oh, boy.
This will be entertaining. Because how many times have you heard me say on the show that whenever you have to walk something back and you do it with such ferocity, it must have been true.
Correct.
Yes. See, a member of the CDC, was it the CDC? Oh, it doesn't exist on surfaces. Next, now we all know it doesn't exist on surfaces. Right? That's a prime example. So let's get to Dr. Alan Sills. He is the head of the NFL medical group. I mean, everybody has to have somebody in charge. So, number one, he's pleased with the number of players who have been volunteering that they have symptoms. That's awesome. Which is great they've been able to do that. And then there was this story. Across the United States, cases of COVID-19 are on the rise due to the Omicron variant. We know that. According to the NFL's chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, the spread of the virus in the league is due to symptomatic players, not those who are asymptomatic. In an interview with NFL Network, he said, quote, "I think all of our concern about asymptomatic spread has been going down based on what we've been seeing throughout the past several months. We've got our hands full with symptomatic people. Can I tell you tonight that there has never been a case when someone without symptoms passed it on to someone else?" He says, "No, of course not." He says, "But what I can say," and again, this is 2 years worth of research now, "that it's a very, very, very tiny fraction of the overall problem, if it even exists at all." Oh. Really? Which now takes us back to the original premise. When something's blurted out at a press conference and everybody bends over backwards to change it the next day, you know it must be true. 15 months ago, one of the members of the WHO at a press conference said asymptomatic people are not spreading the virus. Remember that? Remember that press conference? And then the next, no. Now you got a person from the NFL going, no, it's really not happening. Clearly, if you want to look at the overall pattern and concern about transmission, it is not being driven by people who have no idea they're infected and they're infecting scores of others. This is being driven by people with symptoms and the exposures during that symptomatic period. No offense, that seems logical. That's one of the reasons why you're seeing across the board more and more organizations, cities, whatever, going to 5 days instead of 10. And even Dr. Fauci was asked about 5 days, and he said that's something they're seriously looking at. And I think somebody was suggesting, 5 days, and then 5 days after that being out, but you had to wear a mask. Trying to do more common sense on that. But remember that press conference? That was, I think it was like 15 months ago. Oh, yeah, I found it. June 8th, 2020. Okay. This is June 8th, 2020. I feel like I'm wrecking your day by talking about this.
No, you're right.
Want to talk about the Eagles. All I'm doing is I'm on here telling, okay? This is a big story right now. You got so many people that are... Here we go. I have no idea what her name is. But
reported as asymptomatic. And so we hear from a number of countries that X number, X percentage of them are reported as not having symptoms, or that they are in their pre-symptomatic phase, which means it's a few days before they actually develop severe symptoms. In a number of countries, when we go back and we discuss with them, one, how are these asymptomatic cases being identified? Many of them are being identified through contact tracing. And so, which is what we would want to see, in that you have a known case, you find your contacts, they're already in quarantine, hopefully, and some of them are tested, and then you pick up people who may have asymptomatic or no symptoms or even mild symptoms. The other thing we're finding is that when we actually go back and say how many of them were truly asymptomatic, we find out that many have really mild disease, very mild disease. They're not quote-unquote COVID symptoms, meaning they may not have developed fever yet, they may not have had a significant cough, or they may not have shortness of breath.
And again, as she said, then June 8th, very, very rare. Then had to backtrack it on June 11th. Now you get the NFL saying, we got 2 years worth of data. It's like, no, it's the symptomatic people who are driving it. Which then brings us to the head of the bowl committee. The head of the bowl committee is not happy with the cancellations. Now, some of these cancellations that have happened are due in part to a combination of, we have some COVID cases, we have some transfers, and we have some people that are sitting out. And that's how they're ending up with not enough players. I mean, I'll give you an example. Let's take Arkansas. How many people do you think are sitting out for Arkansas?
Probably, I think it's only a handful.
Or are no longer with the team. Everybody thinks it's two, right?
I mean, that's what
I think.
I've
it's Burks,
so
and they think it's Williams.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. I've got the list. It's a dozen.
Oh.
Because people don't follow Arkansas football. I'll give you one. The guy that kicks off, who's got like a 90-something percent kickoff rate, he's out. He's transferring. He's not going to kick off. I don't want him kicking off. I want him kicking off once the entire day anyway. But there's a list of a dozen guys that have put their name in the transfer portal. Well, I know, between sitting out and, you know what I mean. That's part of the problem with these teams. A lot of people have put their name in the transfer portal and aren't with the team anymore. That's creating a problem with the numbers. So, yeah, COVID's part of it. In other words, until we got hit with COVID, we had enough numbers. I can tell you right now that for the most part, if nobody had left or transferred, they'd have had enough numbers. That's the problem. It's the problem of the combination of the three that's causing this. And COVID's the latest of the problems. Where, you know, it's like, oh, great. You know, we don't have, I don't know, pick a number. Eight to a dozen, whatever it may be, okay? And it's the problem is the number of people have out. Like I said, Arkansas has I think, something like 7 to 10 guys in the transfer portal, and they have the two guys sitting out there everybody knows are going to the draft. Okay, now Penn State's got more guys sitting out because they're getting ready for the draft. And really, Penn State has a handful in the portal. Dez Holmes is in the portal. Taquan Roberson's in the portal. Well, Roberson wasn't going to play. Holmes probably wasn't going to play, to be honest with you. I mean, Dez Holmes was not going to play in the game. He'd play all season, for goodness sakes. I mean, Olu Fashion is going to play. But that, you know, that's what it's the combination of everything that's causing this to happen. Miami has a lot of guys in the transfer portal, and they also have people that have COVID. So it's not just, oh, we got a COVID problem, that's it, we're done. Like, the COVID problem has now been added to the reduced numbers they had to begin with from transfers that are no longer with the team, injuries for obvious reasons. Like Rasheed Walker, for example. He can't play in the game. You know, P.J. Mustafa can't play in the game. So you got, you know, you're down two starters right there. And that's why the head of the bowl committee, he's getting, you know, when it comes to the 10-day thing, he's really antsy about it, saying, hey, look, he says things are happening with these games. He said that, in his opinion, it's his opinion, shouldn't be happening. It's an interesting topic, but now you've got the head of the NFL medical, Dr. Alan Sills, who's, you know, let's face it, he's been on top of it, saying it's the symptomatic people that are driving the problems. It is not the asymptomatic people. And he's got 2 years worth of work that he's done on it. This isn't somebody like just like, hey, you know, after a couple of weeks, like, hey, guess what? We're not having a problem there. Okay? You know, this is like 2 years where he's kind of seen how it's all developed right before his eyes. That's why he made the statement he did. Now, come on, you knew all about that. Come on. I know you want to talk about your Eagles. It's just, you know, it's a bad league this year.
I actually didn't see that. I just skim read it just now, but to catch up everything. So now what the NFL is doing now actually makes sense. But I don't know why he didn't come out and say that. I'm talking about Dr. Alan Sills before the NFL changed its policies.
He wasn't asked about it. You got to remember, one of the things that you do is that people say, I don't understand why, you know, or you'll hear, he made this statement at, like, I don't care who, like Belichick or whatever. And what do I always say when somebody makes a statement about something? They probably were asked. They wouldn't have said anything if they weren't asked. Well, the difference is now the NFL changed its policy, so people asked him, why are you changing your policy? So he asked. So he told them.
I guess. I mean, I feel like there's fault on both sides when it comes to that. I feel like, because he spoke with NFL Network. So I feel like NFL Network with the...
And then the part of that's also what he told ESPN.
Okay.
Now, all the statements I made were a combination of NFL Network quotes and ESPN quotes.
Well, nevertheless, NFL Network at least has the brother-to-brother partnership with the league. So I feel like something could have been worked out for him to talk about this on whoever wanted to initiate the questioning before all the new policies came out.
He's not at fault at anything.
I'm not saying he's at fault. I'm saying the league is NFL Network's at fault.
For what?
Making him, having Dr. Allen say something about this to back up, yeah, this is okay to change these policies.
That's why he was interviewed, because they changed their policies. So they said, can we talk to him? They said, yeah, go ahead, talk to him. And he answered the questions.
Should have been done earlier. That's my point.
When? NFL hadn't changed his policy yet.
Last week they did.
That's what I mean. The quotes were last week. The quotes were not today. The quotes were last week, heading into the weekend. It was right after they announced what they were doing. They didn't do anything wrong. The only thing they did was they granted Philadelphia a franchise.
All right, now I understand.
And they brought that fan base in that just is consumed with hate. It's unbelievable. Hey, what did I say they would be? What I said they'd be what? 5-12, 6-11?
Correct.
Far exceeded what I thought they would do. Give them credit. And they got a shot at it. And not only that, Washington's fighting on the sidelines. Like, really good stuff.
Correct. And also, Ron Rivera said today that Heineke will start, but Kyle Allen will probably play on Sunday, which is quite the reversal from the Nate Sudfeld game 2 years ago.
The Eagles kind of threw it last year.
I mean, oh, they did. There's no denying it.
I mean, they really... They kind of threw it. There actually was a bowl game today, right? I think Western Michigan, I know, won big, right?
Correct. And then you had the military bowl canceled at the last second because of BC cases.
52-24, they beat Nevada. Well, I mean, some of it, again, it's all about numbers. As I explained, how do you get there? Some guys are hurt. Some guys have transferred. Now you add in the COVID guys. Now that's when you don't have enough. It's like when they say hospitals are overrun with COVID patients. They're taking up the extra 20% that's normally available in hospitals. I mean, we got to do a better job actually, like, reporting, like, what's real. Right? COVID cases are taking up the 20% pad. Everybody thinks everybody in the hospital has COVID. Au contraire, mon frère. There are actually a lot of people in the hospital that would normally be in the hospital. The problem is the extra beds are now being taken up. And I just talked, my son works at Strong Memorial up in Rochester. All right? That's how it works.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, you name it. They'll take care of it. And not only that, they are outstanding when it comes to looking at all of your insurance needs, getting you the best price possible. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. So there was only one bowl game today. It was actually started at 11 this morning. Western Michigan won it. Now, of course, there was not going to be a Monday night bowl game because Monday night football's tonight. And and then they'll get going again tomorrow. It's interesting. Arizona State is going to play in the Vegas Bowl against Wisconsin. Arizona State has a lot of people that had opted out. Interesting, Wisconsin has not. Like Jack Sanborn, for example, a lot of people think that at minimum he's a second-day pick. Okay. He says, nope, love these guys too much. I'm playing in the bowl game. It's the Vegas Bowl. He's playing. All right, the NFL yesterday, the Steelers were awful. They were just literally taken apart slice by slice by Kansas City yesterday. That game wasn't even competitive. It wasn't close. Meanwhile, the Eagles did the same thing to the Giants. Now, I got to give the Giants credit. I mean, the Giants aren't bad. I mean, they're just really bad.
Yeah, that is correct. That first half was insult to illness, is what I described it for me yesterday, but the second half was fun.
No, the first half, I mean, look, the Eagles kept putting the ball on the ground, and the Giants couldn't take advantage of it. And, as you know, my son and I were watching the game. I said, you know, he says, I know, Dad, you say it all the time, really bad teams make really bad plays. And I said, or don't make plays. I said, and that's the Giants. They either don't make plays or they make bad plays. See, that's why the Eagles, in my opinion, are not. The Eagles are good, but they're no better than good. Because, I mean, games like that, I mean, they made one bad play after another, got away with it because of who they were playing. If they played Dallas yesterday, they'd have been crushed. Good teams come up with the fumble. Good teams come up with the interception. You know what I mean? Take advantage of it. They were playing Dallas yesterday. They were playing Kansas City, Green Bay. They'd have been crushed. But because they were playing the Giants, who were incapable of making plays, right? They got away with it. Then the second half, they just rolled. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some concern about Miles Sanders.
Well, there is. Mick Sirianni mentioned he does have a broken hand, is at least out for this week, which is a big blow, because Jordan Howard has that neck strain that kept him out of the lineup for a while back, and they're hopefully good to go, but that's going to have to be something to watch out for, too. And if you don't have Howard as well, then you're down to Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell in the backfield, which are capable of carrying the load. But if you at least can have Jordan Howard, then that would help. Then you can pick up right where you left off, basically.
Yeah. Okay. They're Gainwell and Boston Scott are functional, just another guy kind of player. They're just another guy. Now, I know Eagles fans don't agree with me, but I have no dog in the hunt. They're just another guy. But that's enough. Who they have Dallas this week?
No, they got Washington this week, of course.
They got Washington again? Oh, they got Washington again.
Jeez. At Washington, though. So I was concerned about this game, but now I'm not anymore, regardless of who plays, because this Washington team is they're inept. They're ready for the season to be over. They're going to be playing. They're treating this like a preseason game. So I don't care who you have in the backfield. The Eagles should win this game.
See, that's between you and me. I wasn't worried about it for a second.
I mean, they are officially at rock bottom last night after what happened last night. I'm not even talking about on the field. I'm talking about I wasn't necessarily surprised what happened on the field. What happened on the sidelines is what I'm focused on.
I'll say this. I think it's interesting the way Taylor Heinicke played and the way Baker Mayfield played. Neither one of them had any practice for a period of time because they were on the COVID list. It showed.
Yeah.
Now that's not why Washington lost last night. It was a contributing factor as to why Washington lost last night. And it really was a factor in how Cleveland lost to Green Bay. I mean, those two guys had, you know, that's, you know, people like, practice. You needed to stay sharp. And people think you just walk in and play. Like, you really can't just walk in and play. And that's what this is showing. Yeah, unless you're so incredibly exceptional. But neither guy. I mean, Baker Mayfield did not play well on Christmas. And they flew him in the day of the game. And Heinicke didn't play well against Dallas. Now, Washington couldn't stop Bishop Sycamore. defensively.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled.
Probably shouldn't have picked a Catholic school. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait.
Okay, so kickoff times change for Rams, Baltimore, and Carolina, and New Orleans. What does that mean? Let's see. Just games impacted by updated schedule. So the NFL has moved the starting times in two games of Week 17. Ravens' home game against the Rams now goes from 4:25 to 1 p.m. The Saints' home game against Carolina goes from 1 to 4:25.
What?
Both aired on Fox. Sunday's game between the Ravens and Rams has major playoff implications. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. After a hectic Week 15 that saw three games rescheduled due to COVID-19, there were no such issues in Week 16 after the league made several changes to its return-to-play policy. And despite the ongoing pandemic, the NFL is less than 2 weeks away from completing the longest regular season in history. So they moved the two. They flip-flopped the two games?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. They should have just kept it the way they had it.
Yeah. The Ravens-Rams game's in Baltimore, right? So, for the Rams, it's going to be 10 a.m. Viking remain in the race. NFC's only playoff bye. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't really say why they did it. I mean, it doesn't really matter if somebody ends up in the 4 o'clock spot versus the 1 o'clock spot. It doesn't really matter. But interesting they did it. Wasn't like they moved them to prime time. Okay, so here are winners and losers from Sunday's action. Winner, the Eagles. The Eagles have quietly snuck into the playoff race, and they actually have exactly what you need to win in the postseason, an unstoppable running game and a strong defense. Really? Loser, Chargers. That was bad yesterday.
Yes.
Winners, Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott. Loser, Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Boy, was Josh Allen good yesterday? Did you see any of that? Josh Allen was just... And did you see Belichick hug him after the game?
Yeah.
And Belichick, after the game and the wind up in Orchard Park, raved about Allen's play. Raved about it. Trevor Lawrence, not a good day.
Not his fault whatsoever, but he's been in the loser category all year.
Not his fault.
Mostly not his fault.
Let's go back to losing teams make losing plays. Okay? There's a play that you've got in your back pocket you want to run in a certain spot. The Jags are now in that spot, and they have two guys in motion? What is wrong with you? I mean, that's like the play that is in your back pocket. It's probably one of your two-point plays. All right, here we go. You got a full 40 seconds. You got the whole thing. Yeah, you're out of timeouts, but the clock stopped. And then all of a sudden, nobody knows where to line up. Nobody. This is week 16. You started in late July. You don't know where to line up? Will Richardson of the Jags, Connor McDermott of the Jets scored touchdowns yesterday, but of course that's not the one we picked for our play-by-play call. The day that those guys aren't good enough. All right, let's see. How about the Bears? Yeah, we always talk about analytics. They went for 2-1.
Well, that's because they had number 9 under center.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, He has his way of getting into Canton is exactly the same as yours. All right. So here are the top seven teams each conference. AFC, Chiefs 11-4. All right, and they're in. They've clinched the playoff spot. They're the only team in the AFC that has clinched the playoff spot. Titans would be the 2 seed. The Bengals are the 3. The Bills are the 4. Then 5 are the Colts, 6 are the Patriots, 7 are the Ravens. In the NFC right now, the Packers would be the 1 seed. The Cowboys would be the 2 seed. The Rams the 3. The Bucks the 4. The Cardinals the 5. Those 5 have already clinched. The 49ers are 6. The Eagles are 7, which means that the playoffs started today. They would face the Cowboys, get blown out, and end the season.
Yeah. There's not really a winnable matchup here for the Eagles if they were to get in. But I would still like them to get in because you never know.
Well, they could beat the Rams.
I think
they're... They could beat the Cardinals. They could beat the Buccaneers.
My two would be... The Cardinals, if they were to win the West, would probably be the best matchup for them. But if not, I actually would say the Bucs.
Now, remember, the 49ers have the tiebreaker.
Right, yeah, depending on how things shuffle up. But there's a huge... But 2, 3, and 4, they're all 11-4 right now behind Green Bay. And then Arizona's 10-5.
Yeah, but Arizona, as a division champion, in the top four.
Right.
Okay, so that doesn't... I mean, the only one that comes into play here is they've got to somehow... Well, that's right. The Cardinals would be a wild card.
Right.
All right, so...
So they'd have to win the West. And I guess that's still mathematically possible, but I don't know. I know they have the Cowboys coming up. I don't know who they have left besides that.
Who, the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Eagles have the Cowboys, too.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could be a... Back... Cowboys may kneel down on every single play just to get the Eagles in so they could crush them.
It could shape up that way.
Yeah, it could. But, you know, Hurts is playing well. Devontae Smith is...
Incredible touchdown grab yesterday.
Yeah. He's just a terrific player. You knew when they drafted him. By the way, we talk about all the grumbling about bowl games. Bowl games, bowl games, bowl games. Okay? So far, 13 games have been played. Okay? And once again... 11 of the 13 have topped 1 million viewers. The Bahamas Bowl, which was noon Friday the 17th, had 851,000 viewers. The Myrtle Beach Bowl, played on a Monday afternoon at 2:30, had 918,000 viewers. All the other bowl games have had over a million viewers apiece. That includes the Cure Bowl, the L.A. Bowl, the New Mexico Bowl. All these bowls nobody wants to watch. Oh, wait. They do. What a shocker. Again, people are home. And, you know, maybe you watch a quarter of it, maybe you watch a half of it. But people tune in and they do watch it, and it's something I point out over and over again. 11 of the 13 bowls, 1 million viewers or more. All right. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.